Welcome to the latest episode of Connect Ed Tech,
a podcast where the E and D may or may not stand for Elizabeth
and Daryl. Hello, Connect Ed Techers! We're back for season 2, episode 5. Our 10th overall episode.
Yeah, and we are clearly really excited about this episode.
Yes. And if I were a master editor, balloons will be falling from the sky right
just
now.
Just imagine that. Use your imaginations to imagine balloons falling from
the sky. No, they don't have to imagine. Balloons will be coming from the sky. Just wait.
Post-edit. Post-edit.
Yes.
That's awesome. What I can't figure out is why these little guys are all lined up right here. They look like they're waiting in line for something. What's that?
Yes, they're waiting in line. Oh, we've got viewers. Hello. Yes, they are. They are waiting in line to see, to ask the question to the great Dolly.
Dalai Lama.
Dalai Lama. Oh my gosh, that was good.
Someone gave me a card recently that had a llama on the front of it, and the llama's name was Dolly, and I thought that was
Dalai Lama, but that's Lily.
This is Lily, though, yeah.
That was good.
That was good, right? I wish I would have thought of it. It was a card.
Yes, that's why they're in line. And
what are they hoping to get from her is what I want to know.
I don't know. What does she know? What does Lily know?
Lily knows lots of things. She was first in her class when she graduated from
high school. True. And she's been sitting on, we've had 10 episodes with great ed tech specialists out there. So she's listened in onto everything.
I feel like she's learned a lot over the years.
Through the years.
So I feel like Wonder Woman. Yeah, I'm not singing that song yet. But I feel like Wonder Woman is maybe a little frustrated because I don't think she's used to being in the back of the line.
Yeah, she has her sword. She's about to stab Betty White
in the back.
Back.
Oh, my gosh. Ron Swanson over there. He's just chilling with his coffee.
And then Bob Ross has a little painting to give to Lily.
He's either going to give it to her or he's going to have her sign it.
Oh, there you go. What's on it? It's a picture of a llama.
That's awesome.
We're going to pretend it's what
he's like, they're all bringing her gifts.
It's like three kings. Three kings of Orient.
Totally.
Yeah, sure.
The gnomes, what do they represent?
The gnomes? I don't know. They were on sale at Target.
Shout out to Target. Speaking of Target.
Target.
I went to Target the other day to
buy.
Did
you really?
What did I buy at Target? I was looking for an ugly Christmas sweater a week or so ago. Yeah, because we just had the holidays. And it was slim pickings. I ended up having to shop in the little girls section, and I bought like the extra large of a girl's
sweater. Oh, yeah.
It's still a little tight, but whatever. But the lines at Target.
Yeah, lines everywhere, especially if you're trying to shop
at
this time of year.
Stressed me out a little bit, I'm not going to lie. Mm-hmm. A little stressed.
A little stressed. Lines, huh? I had to wait in line to get a chicken sandwich from Popeyes.
Oh, no. See, I just avoid that place. I avoid it.
I was curious.
So what happened?
I went there. Okay. I got to the speaker thing. Uh-huh. And then there was a sign that says we were out of chicken sandwiches. And then one car came behind me and then another car. And then I was stuck. I was stuck in that line and I didn't want to order anything.
It's a nightmare.
Yeah. At first, I was stuck in line. Then second, I didn't get to try their chicken sandwich.
I feel like there should have been some way for Popeyes to notify the people who were in line to let them know, hey, we're out of chicken sandwiches, because that's why they're all going to Popeyes.
There was a sign on the
There was a sign on the actual
speaker box. By that point, it was too late.
Oh, exactly, because then the cars are just piling up.
There should have been a
it.
Better way.
Absolutely, a better way. See, now Chick-fil-A, they got the line thing down.
They sure do.
They got their people out there standing by the cars.
Yeah.
Helping the lines to
actually, I went to Chick-fil-A this morning.
Yeah, there's a little competition going on with Chick-fil-A and Popeyes because of the lines. I don't know. It just kind of, I reach my threshold sometimes. I got to work on that. It's New Year. I got to work on the line. Waiting. Really cool guest today. His name is Kyle Nemus, and he's from New Jersey.
New Jersey.
Yeah, we actually met him on Twitter. We haven't met him in person yet.
Not
but
yet.
Yeah, he's a neat guy. And he's going to talk about how he created this tool called Classroom Q. And it actually is sort of a waiting in line type of a tool when teachers are working with other students and kids have a question in the classroom. They could actually go to this site called Classroom Q and type in their question. And then this teacher will get a notification So she'll know who has questions in the, or he'll know those questions in the room. Classroom
like,
Q,
like
for
a Q, question. Like a Q, Q U E U. How do you spell
as
Q?
Though you didn't plan this right here. As though you.
Well,
didn't
I thought
plan
question.
Yeah.
Classroom question.
Question or Q or
oh Q
query,
a Q Q like
or
a,
Q it up.
In like London and Australia, they call them waiting in a queue.
Waiting in a queue, exactly. So, but it's the letter Q. Oh. It's the letter Q. So anyway, we're excited to talk to him. He's also going to talk about his work with UDL, Universal Design Learning, and how that all plays a big part in student choice of voice in the classroom. And anyway, we'll be with him in just a few minutes after this.
A snap of our finger.
1, 2, 3.
You can find all things related to the Connect Ed Tech podcast by visiting our website, flippinggoodtech.com. And while you're there, make sure to click on all the tabs for a closer look at who we are and why we're passionate about everything we do.
And most importantly, be sure to follow us at Flippin' Good Tech on all social media platforms and subscribe to our YouTube channel for quick access to all the latest podcast episodes, Connect Ed Tech promos, and Flipped in 5 Tech Tips.
We're back with Connect Ed Tech Season 2, Episode 5, Daryl.
Can't believe it.
Can you believe it?
We're 10 episodes altogether.
We're right? In double digits
double
now.
Double digits.
And we are so excited about our guest today, all the way from New Jersey.
That's how they say it.
I think that's how they say it up there. I think that's New Jersey. New Jersey. And we've got Kyle Nemus with us today, and he is an ed tech coach currently, but he's going to tell us a little bit about his background in education. How you doing, Kyle?
Hey, how's it going? Yeah, I'm from New Jersey, so thank you.
Oh, I said it better.
That's yeah, sound.
So what's the weather like up there?
What's the weather? Right now it is cold and rainy. How is it down there?
70 is the high today.
And beautiful.
Don't be jelly.
I am. Yeah.
Only, you know, a couple of days in the year for Texas, so we got it today. Got good weather today.
We did. Just for you. So thank tell you. Us what you do. What's your background?
Yeah, so like I said, I'm from Jersey. I am now an ed tech coach, but I was a middle school science teacher for a long time, 7th and 8th grade. And so I went to College of New Jersey for education, got my master's in educational leadership. And like I said, now I'm just really loving this ed tech coach role, which is a lot of fun.
That's awesome. Daryl
yes.
and I are both middle school people.
Uh-huh. I was a 7th grade science teacher and an 8th grade science teacher.
For real?
In an ed tech role too.
What?
So we're like twins, man.
We are like twins.
I wish I was cool as you though. I mean, we're about to find out how cool you are in just a second. So.
Isn't middle school so good though? I don't know about you, but every middle school teacher I've ever talked to had no desire to be a middle school teacher. Like I had no desire to be a middle school teacher. I was going to be a 4th or 5th grade teacher and kind of got sucked into it. And then I ended up loving it. So what about you, Daryl?
I love middle school. They're so quirky in that grade level.
So quirky.
Like a 7th grader, especially, they actually get your jokes. And you don't, you know, some of them, the good ones, and
yeah,
you can joke around with them, and you know, I love that age group, and they're eager. Well, most of them are, mm-hmm. but for the most part, they're eager to learn. So I love that age group. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I never wanted to teach it either. I substitute taught before I got my degree, which was huge. I highly recommend it. Anybody trying to go into education, substitute teach, it was really good. And I ended up being in a middle school English classroom the majority of the time, and I just really fell in love with it. And I taught high school and middle school, but I taught middle school for the longest time. So, but English, not science.
It's okay.
Jeez, all
you
these
need,
science
you
people.
Need English and science, so.
This is true. You got to be able to read. So, so you're an ed tech coach now, but you taught, like you said, you taught science for a really, really long time. So, tell us a little bit about how you structured your classroom, because I know we talked to you some before about the importance of giving students choice in the classroom. So tell us, kind of walk us through what that could kind of look like for you in your class with giving students choice in what they learn in a science classroom.
Sure. Yeah. So, I mean, it was a journey, I think, like all teachers were, right? So my main focus when I started is I really just wanted to make learning super fun and engaging and all this stuff. And it was, I guess, about 7 years ago when like flipped learning started to kind of really come into education a little bit. And I remember talking to my father-in-law, who was a principal, and he's like, there's this thing called flipped learning. You record yourself. And I'm kind of the personality that says like, all right, I mean, let's go for it and just see how it plays out. So I started there for sure and did kind of the stereotypical flipped where people watch videos at home. And it didn't work for me for a couple of reasons. As far as the kids at home, they just, some didn't watch it, or I don't know, it just became kind of a challenge. So then my class kind of evolved to like an in-class flip kind of styles, which is a lot more popular now. Like Catelyn Tucker, I don't know if you guys know her. She's super big into that whole thing too. So it became that. And then honestly, the turning point was this moment where kids used to watch videos in my class of me teaching. And there was this girl, I'll never forget her. And she's like, do you have any other way to learn? I really don't like your videos. And at first,
wow, brutally honest.
Totally, right? Yeah. So now, you know, all these years later, I can really appreciate it. In the moment, I was just like, you know, I had to take a step back and be like, okay. So like, I kept my cool and I was like, all right, well, what would you like to learn as opposed to a video? And she's like, I just prefer to read or, as opposed to a video. So do you have anything I can just read about it? And so that really kind of opened the floodgates of like, I'm sure if she doesn't like learning maybe one certain way, then other kids don't too. So it really got me to start experimenting with giving the same content but via video or reading or hands-on. And then so it really evolved into this classroom that hopefully kids had a lot more fun because they had a lot of options to kind of get the same exact content.
I love that you said that, because a lot of times I'll go to even professional development sessions and I'm a participant in those things, and they're wanting me to build things or make things with my hands. And I am just really not good at that. But if you ask me to write something like a creative writing piece, or even kind of write a script or act something out, I could be all over that. But like actually building something from scratch, not my cup of tea. So I really appreciate the fact that you're saying it's not one size fits all.
Yeah, I mean, and what you're saying, like writing makes me sweat. Like I don't want to write anything at all. Like even just you talking about it, where I'm totally more of the hands-on. But yeah, so I think you're totally right. I think the big thing that I've learned so much over the years is just that like so many kids learn different, which isn't new, obviously, you know what I mean? But just, I don't know, just really giving kids different options is something I value a lot.
Yeah, you mentioned barriers about flip learning where your students weren't watching the videos at home. I've heard a lot of teachers say the same thing. And you mentioned something like in-class flipped.
Yeah.
Which I've never heard of it that way. Can you kind of explain how that technique or that strategy works, or how you use it in the classroom?
Sure. Yeah. So flipping in general, I guess it depends on your definition, right? So to me, flipping means recording yourself giving the content or your lesson or direction as opposed to you standing in front of the class teaching. So that to me is, I guess, my definition of flipped, whereas you could argue it means like doing stuff at home. So when it was at home, like they said, some people didn't do it or whatever. So I remember literally one day I had the at home kind of thing as homework. And I was like, you know what, let's just start our homework earlier. And kids started watching the video in class. And it was so much better because it's still the exact same benefits where kids can go fast or go slow and they still have access to it wherever they want, that whole thing. But you were also there to help and answer questions. And so that was one of the biggest barriers I faced, is that kids at home didn't have you. And of course there's structures, they can write down questions and all that, but there's something really valuable about when they're watching a video, also having the real life you. So I've done a lot of workshops on it, and I always call it like cloning myself more than it is like a flip. So it's like there's the digital you giving the lesson, and then there's real life you who's walking around asking questions, helping kids. So it's almost like there's two of you in the classroom. So it was really, really helpful and kind of a game changer.
One of our friends, Meredith Akers, does a session. I like how you said that, because she calls it duplicating yourself.
Same thing, yeah.
It's like the same. I love that, because that's exactly what you're doing. And it frees you up. It gives you more time, because I think that's a barrier for teachers sometimes. They're like, how do I manage this? So besides doing that, duplicating yourself, can you see other advantages for doing class this way for on the teacher's side of it?
Yeah, so I mean, for me personally, here are the main benefits that I saw is one, and I guess the most important is like my relationships with kids became so much better, which I know is like, you wouldn't think so, but all my time now was spent walking around having really great individual conversations with these kids. Whereas when I'm in front of the classroom, it's hard to have as many individual conversations because you're talking to the whole group. So like I just got to know the kids on a personal level. I got to know their learning style. So it helped with the relationship piece, which was just awesome. But then like it really helped for, we always say that the kids in the margins, for the kids who would be bored are no longer bored because they can fast forward. The kids who are totally lost and need some more time can rewind. So like that just makes them in a better mood in your class. They don't dread your class because it's less stressful because they know it's they can really go at their own pace. So it just really made the class like a really, I don't know, much more engaging kind of fun atmosphere.
And yeah, and the beauty, I just combined beauty and video together. The beauty of using video in the classroom, they watch your videos and then you can just watch your students and you see how they learn. And then you can personalize it. If we're playing buzzword bingo,
Buzzword bingo.
Just a little personalized out there. Right. How you personalize the classroom and then you get to see what strategy best works for them. So a lot of focus is on video, flip learning. Do you have any like strategies or tools or tips and techniques for creating these videos in the classroom?
Yeah, so I mean, there's all sorts of tools out there, right? My number one thing I did is I would put my phone on a chair that was on top of a table and I would record myself teaching the lesson. Like, no editing, no nothing like that. I just think that like with 1,000 things we have to do, like if I knew I had to then record myself and edit it and do all this stuff, I probably wouldn't do it. But it's really easy for me just to put my phone on top of a chair and for 10 minutes just record myself doing my normal lesson I would do in front of the class. And it was really funny. So I used to do this before school. I'd get to school, you know, and just record myself. So if you were a teacher walking by my classroom, like in the morning, you'd see me giving this lecture to literally nobody. So it looked like I was a crazy person, like moving my hands all around and there's no one in the classroom, just me to a phone. So I would just record to a phone and go to YouTube from there and then just share it with my kids. So that was my favorite thing is, and I think that's be my advice to anyone who's considering flipping is like, just keep it like way simple and don't worry about editing because you're going to make mistakes and it's totally fine. And we make mistakes all the time. So that's my, I guess, editing tech advice.
I love that. And you're modeling that for students too. Not everything has to be so perfect. It's about the purpose for whatever it is that you're creating. That's the most important thing. So going back to, we talked about the teachers and how this is beneficial to them, but what kind of impact have you seen on the students with using this type of choice stations or blended learning environment, buzzword, in the classroom?
So if I'm going to be honest, it depends on what time of year you're talking about. So because my class, I offer the video, but I offered a lot of choices to kind of learn, let's say respiratory system, right? They can watch the video or they can play a game or they can, go to the whiteboard with a friend. Ultimately the way I did my lessons were like, here's the end goal. And then we got a day or two to really get there, however you want to get there. So it sounds like really wonderful, but to a student in September, it's a kind of scary and overwhelming because a lot of times kids come into the classroom in seventh grade and they're so used to, you tell me what to do and I'm going to do it. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I'm going to do it really well, or I'm not going to do it really well. Like, but now I'm like, listen, here's the goal. You guys decide how you want to get there. It's really hard. They're like, but can you just tell me how to get there? You know what I mean? And so September, October is a lot of like, just encouraging them to take chances and like try going to the whiteboard, try sitting on the floor, like try all this, but also knowing that like some of it doesn't work and having those conversations like after day two, like, hey, you chose to work with a partner. You kind of talk the entire time. Like now we know that maybe doesn't work. So just really trying to create a safe place for them to try and experiment is really, that's the biggest challenge. I think I always say it's like an exponential curve. Like September, October is messy, but then you come into the classroom and like March and it is a beautiful thing to walk in to see kids all, it looks like chaos because they're all doing different things, but they are doing what is best for them. So it's been just really, really cool on their end, but it takes a little bit of time.
Yeah, it's a total change of mindset, not just for the teacher, but also for the student. Sometimes they don't even know, like, how do I learn best? What's the best way for me to learn this material until you give them the options, they got choices, like, oh, I love learning it this way. And then wow. Yeah. Those are some great things that you hit on right there.
Yeah. Because really, like, I guess I would encourage people listening to this to think, like, if you ask your child, your students, like, do they know how they learn best, right? Do they know they learn better auditory, hands-on? And if they don't know, I feel like that's gotta be something that every kid has to learn at some point. I think middle school is a great time to experiment and figure out for the kid, like, so they know how they like to learn.
You know, when you talk about the mindset and the shift for teachers, a teacher who's never done this before, if they were to walk into your classroom, Kyle, and they see this, what seemingly looks like chaos, they may be like, how do you even manage this? All these kids doing different things at the same time. I mean, what are some strategies that you could possibly use?
It's like they first see him waving his hands to nobody and recording a video, and they come into his class, what is going on? can just imagine.
You're right, and it definitely could be. So I guess my advice I'd give to any teacher with anything would be to start super small. If just like you think of the lesson you're doing next week, and is every kid doing exactly the same thing? And they are, is there maybe one option you can give them? So just, I always think of like review games, and even your example of your hands-on piece, you were just talking about at PD, right? Like, I think a lot of times as teachers, we generalize like, oh, kids like to be hands-on, or kids learn really well from video, or all kids like to play games. And we kind of put all kids into like a one category. And I just don't think that's fair. So like the example I like to use is like review games. So like, I don't know, I'm going to use Quizlet Live for an example. Like Quizlet Live for majority of the kids is like super fun, engaging, competitive. And like, I would say most kids really like it, but for some kids, it is a stressful, anxiety ridden nightmare to be on a team in the speed field competition. So instead of saying, listen, we're all going to do Quizlet Live because you're all going to love it, it's going to be fun, you can still say we're going to do it, but then have the option to say like, listen, like if this isn't for you, that's totally fine. You can study on your own or with a friend or just do some flashcards, because the end goal is the same. You just want kids to study for their test or quiz or whatever it is in a way that is the most enjoyable to them. So I would say just start really, really small and just think like, is there any little thing I can do to make a kid's life a little bit better? Just one option maybe.
That's a really good point. I don't think I've ever thought about just giving them the option not to do Quizlet Live or GimKids.
Who doesn't like Quizlet Live and GimKids?
It's a game.
No, but think about it. I think there are even some teachers during PDs like, oh gosh, Quizlet Live, no.
Yeah. I think that's a good point. So one of the things we really wanted to talk to you about is this tool that you came up with as a result, I'm guessing, of doing this type of instructional model. So can you tell us a little bit about this tool that you have created? And I want to let you set it up and say what it is.
Thanks. So basically, because I spent so much of my time now walking around helping kids as opposed to in front of the classroom, there were still a lot of conversations I had to have with kids, whether it be help or just, you know, going deeper into things or whatever it is. And no matter what system you put in place, like Ask Three Before Me or whatever, at the end of the day, there's going to be kids who need to talk to you. So I found myself kind of running all around, which is okay. But when I was doing that, there was two main things that kind of drove me crazy as a teacher. I really hated when I'd see a kid sitting there with their hand up, and I'd be like working with one kid, and I'd look over and they'd just be there with their hand up, kind of just not doing anything but having their hand up. Really, like they were engaged, they were there, and they're like, no, I'm stuck. And then like it completely disrupted learning. They were just like pausing, waiting for me. So I feel like it was just like totally wasting their time. But also what it was doing is it was stressing me out a little bit, because I was working with one kid and I really just wanted to stay and really talk to that kid. But if I knew if I stayed there, then that kid would be sitting there. So I'd almost rush my conversation with that kid. So that was kind of this thing that happened all the time. And I think as teachers, we just think that that's the normal part of teaching, is like kids hand up and waiting, or waiting in line, or putting their name on a board. So what we kind of did is, so myself and another teacher, is we just kind of created a really, really simple solution, which is just a digital hand-raising tool, I guess. And so it's called Classroom Q. And honestly, I think it's the simplest tool out there. I know like I'm biased because I made it, but like we wanted to make it so simple where basically a kid, if they need help, they click a button, you get notified, and you can just keep work your way through the queue, and the kid knows where they are in line so they can get back to whatever they were doing. They know that you'll be there as soon as you can. So I always say it's kind of like a deli ticket system at, you know, getting the lunch meats, only for the classroom. It's kind of like a digital deli ticket system. So it's just like one of those like really, really simple things that has made a huge impact in my classroom. And now luckily it's spreading pretty well across the country and the world. So it seems to be making a difference for a lot of people too.
I know, I've been using it in my professional development sessions. And I shared it with a lady that I work with a while back, and she went to a campus to support a first grade classroom. And those first graders, and you know, elementary does stations really, really well, right? So these students were working, these first graders, at these different tables. And they had a leader, a table leader, and that person was the one who was responsible for, if nobody at the table knew how to, the answer, or how to do it, then that one table leader was the one who had access to the classroom queue to ask the question. Sure. And they were very, very simple things that they would type, because, I mean, they're first graders, but they loved it. She absolutely loved it.
That's awesome. Yeah. So can I actually show you or show the viewers here just like how simple it is from start to finish? Because I don't even do workshops on it. I do workshops on other things because it takes 2 minutes to learn and then that's it. Like that's it's such a quick learning curve. All right. So I'm going to share my screen with you if you don't mind.
All right.
And are you going to be Daryl or are you going to be something else?
I'm Lily the Llama.
You're Lily the Llama? Okay. I'm going to be Flip.
All right. Can you see my screen?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Cool. So this is what a teacher would see after I just logged in, and it just is a kind of empty queue, and then there's a class code. So if you go to classroom queue and click on student, you just put in the code, and it's just going to say, like, what is your name? And that's all you have to do from your end is put in the code and the name.
Okay.
Okay, Daryl and I are using aliases for this.
So I see one of you is Flip. And Lily the Llama have joined the class. And so now... from my end as a teacher, it's totally up to you. Sometimes I would just project this list as I walk around the classroom and help people. Sometimes I just have it on my phone. Sometimes I have it on a laptop. Like really, however it's easiest for you to kind of view the list. And so right now you should see a big blue button in front of you, right?
Yes. Oop, I hit the button.
Oh. And so Lily the Llama says, why is the sky blue? So, and that's it. So I know Lily Llama has a question.
I'm first in line.
And so on your end now, it should say like, hey, you're first in line or you're second in line. So you can also kind of self-monitor and self-regulate a little bit, right?
Uh-huh.
I mean, and that's it in a nutshell. And there's a couple other little features. I can see live how many times you've asked for assistance. And if I end my session, if I wanted to, it would say like, do you want to download the data? But really the main thing here is I can work my way through the queue. And when I'm done talking to Flip, I could mark off, or Lily, I can mark you off and your button will go back to blue. And then Flip now says, hey, now you're first in line. And if I help you flip, but I'm nowhere near you, you can cancel yourself and take yourself off the queue if you want to do that. So if you don't mind doing that, and that'll update on my end too. So either I can remove you from the queue or you can remove you. And so we tried to make a really, really simple tool that is really hopefully helpful with a couple of those other little features. And like I said, if I end it, I can export a log if I want to see how many times everyone asked for help and things like that. So.
I like that it has the sound notification too, Kyle, for the teacher.
Yep.
The little sound. So it's very distinctive too. I mean, it's real obvious when a question comes in and pops in the queue. So can you tell us a little bit about you have a free version of it and then?
Sure. So we, again, because it's made by two teachers. I said, this company is just myself and another teacher. We really, honestly, if I'm going to be, I would love to make the whole thing free. I really would. But for those of you, I guess, who don't know this world, like, it costs a lot of money, I guess, just to even run a website, you know what I mean? So we're not actually really even making money. We're just hopefully trying to have enough that we can just kind of keep it going. So our free version gives you pretty much everything you need. So our free version will give you this whole queue and everything. You wouldn't be able to see who joined the class, but it gives you a whole queue. And the main difference, I guess, is that it has only 5 people at any given time who can be in the queue. But for most teachers, there's usually not more than 5 teachers at any one or 5 kids at any one time who need your assistance. Mm-hmm. So as long as you don't have 7 kids at a time who need you, the free version is pretty darn good. However, if you use it a lot and you have more than 5, that's when people usually choose to upgrade. Or if you really want to download the data at the end, that's part of the paid version. But 98% of our users right now use the free version and it does just fine for them, I think.
Awesome. I love it. That's and great. The people that I've shared it with have loved it as well. So hopefully you're picking up some accounts over here from our area. So it's a really, really great classroom management tool. Another thing that you mentioned to us earlier about something that you're really, really passionate about, and you touched on it a little bit earlier, is UDL. And I think that's becoming more of a buzzword, even though that's been talked about for years and years and years. But can you tell us how UDL just really comes into play when we're with all of these things that we've been talking about here today?
Yeah. Do you mind actually if we do a little activity just to maybe intro it to people who don't know exactly kind of what UDL is because it's so buzzwordy?
I don't know. Cool? Daryl, do you want to do an activity? We're not really big on activities.
I'll do it. She doesn't have to do it. I'll do it.
We love activities.
I'm kind of nervous though.
Thank you.
We'll see.
You can do it. I promise you. So first of all, to anyone out there who doesn't know UDL, it's Universal Design for Learning. And this is how I always start my workshops off. Ready? So forget school for a second. Let's just imagine that you two, here it is, it's Saturday, and you have a barbecue tonight in your beautiful 70-degree weather, and
you got
some people coming over, and it's going to be glorious, right? All right. No, you guys are hosting it. You're hosting
it. We're hosting it. We'll use your place.
How odd and different for us.
We're hosting it.
You guys are hosting a barbecue, right? And so we'll keep it simple, right? Just, you know, burgers and whatever and chicken and pasta salad, all the stereotypical things. however, you know that at least two of the people coming, one person has a gluten allergy and one person, you know, coming like really, really, really loves like spicy food. That's like their jam. Let's just call him Bill. Bill loves spicy food, okay?
Bill's the man.
Bill is the man. So my question to you is, now you're planning your barbecue. You bring the normal burgers and dogs and stuff like that, but what would you do for Bill and, I don't know, Sally, gluten-free Sally?
Gluten-free,
okay. What else would you have at your barbecue?
We will have gluten. They can't eat bread, right? That's gluten.
Yeah, they can't eat grains.
We'll do like a lettuce wrap for Sally.
Ooh, nice.
We'll get the burger.
With chicken. Yeah, we always have to have a salad option.
And Bill is allergic to shellfish. What was Bill's?
No, Bill, I mean, he might be. I don't know Bill that well, but
Bill is allergic to Daryl.
Oh, goodness.
he loves spicy food.
Oh, he likes spicy food. Okay, so we're gonna have some habanero spicy wings, hot wings.
Yeah.
For cool. Bill.
Yeah.
All right. So let me just get this straight. So you're having your barbecue, but you said you'd make sure you have like some lettuce if someone wants to make if Sally wants to make a lettuce wrap, and then you might get some spicy wings to. So Bill is also happy, right?
Right.
Yes.
Okay. So what you did is you thought of the people coming, what their needs were, and you kind of made some options for something that might help them, yeah?
Yes.
So now here's my question. When Bill gets there, are you going to say, Bill, dude, I got spicy wings. You have to eat these spicy wings. Probably not, right? You wouldn't force the dude to eat the spicy wings? Or maybe that is, I don't know what your,
eat the wings.
Your hosting style is.
Probably not, right? Wouldn't. Yeah.
No,
but it's there as an option. Okay.
So I would probably make little labels, like little tiny things for each one, just to kind of like as cues.
Okay. So people knew what was
people,
there.
So they would know kind of what was there. But you don't have to do that.
You don't have to do that, but that could be helpful for sure. Mm-hmm. But now, so the other thing too is that like, so Bill might be really pumped about his habanero wings, but maybe someone else is coming who also is going to eat those wings. You wouldn't say, listen, these are Bill's, only Bill can eat them, right? Like other people might totally get into the wings as well, right?
Right.
So that's another really important piece of how this kind of applies to the classroom is that, so the way UDL works is exactly the same way as your classroom is it's really thought out. You think of who's coming to your class and you say, all right, if I'm hosting my barbecue, AKA my lesson, I can probably throw out burgers and dogs or whatever for most people. However, this person I know really wants something. So really, you might put out an option that really might help a kid or, you know, help whatever a kid with some sort of barrier. And we can talk about that in a second, but just the overall idea is put out a couple of choices. But what makes UDL different than differentiation, because this comes up all the time, is because the goal is the same. You want to make sure that every kid has what they need to learn, is that differentiation a lot of times is like you get the blue sheet and you get the red sheet. It's almost like you as a teacher decide the level of the kid and you give it to them, where UDL is very much like, I really think this is going to help a person, so I'm going to have it out there, and maybe they'll use it. Heck, maybe someone else is going to use it too, because that's really important. And they might use it on different days. You know what I mean? Like you might put an option for a kid, and sometimes they use it, and sometimes they don't, depending on their mood, their day, or whatever it is. So I would say UDL is like a very well thought out buffet, whereas differentiation is like making a different meal for every single kid, and that's pretty challenging to do.
I love that you said that about the not limiting what they can pick, even though you know that about that particular person. You don't limit them. I love it because even with choice boards and choice menus, if you differentiate that based on levels where students are in their learning and you say, okay, this color on the choice board is going to be my beginning or lower level, and this group, you guys are at this level, these are the ones you're going to do. But not like offering them the option to do the other things that may appear more challenging just because you think maybe they can't do it, but they may be something that they're interested in doing and want to try or attempt. I love it. Because I mean, I don't like spicy food that much, but I might want to try it right along with Bill, right?
Sure. You don't like spicy food?
No, I don't.
No, that was a great analogy.
Really good.
If I could just expand on it just a little bit. So,
sure.
But the thing is, as a teacher, you're not hosting one barbecue. You're posting a barbecue day after day after day, right? Mm-hmm. So like, we got to find out. So maybe Bill doesn't get habanero wings, but listen, I'll put out a jar of hot sauce every day for you, dude. You know what I mean? Like, I can't make wings every day. So you got to find things that are simple enough that can still help somebody without driving yourself crazy. Because I think a lot of times UDL, people think of, oh my God, I need a buffet every day in my classroom. And that's so scary. So a really simple example I could say is, like, let's just say you are, I don't know, giving notes or whatever it is, right? And whether it be flipped or in front of the classroom, and you're like, listen, I know there's a couple kids who really seem to do well, like when there's a color involved, whether they have the option to write their notes in color or highlight something, right? You putting a couple highlighters on every table is UDL, because you thought of what some kids want, and you just put some, that's your hot sauce.
Highlighters.
And so then when someone walks into your classroom, some kids are taking notes without highlighters, some are. So because maybe they decided to use it. So it doesn't need to be this whole buffet. It's okay. Just like really simple little things that can help kids out. So that's why I love UDL. It doesn't need to be big and overwhelming.
Wow. That was like the most perfect analogy. I completely get it.
I know. I do too.
It was really, really good. And I think our listeners are going to appreciate that a whole lot. So kind of as we start to close this out, you gave us so many good things in such a short amount of time. This was great.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm really, really impressed. I loved Classroom Q already, but the way that you're tying all of the things, we really appreciate that. So tell us, like, who are some of the people that you follow? Where do you get your inspiration for some of this? Because you obviously are very well-versed in the whole UDL piece, but just where do you find your inspiration?
So definitely Twitter, I would say, for sure. Also people in my building, but even going to Twitter, there's definitely like big names out there you can follow. Like, I love Jennifer Gonzalez for sure. Mm-hmm. She's great. And there's so many other good techie people, but if I'm going to be honest, my favorite thing on Twitter is just to like search for the EdTech hashtag and then see kind of what's trending. Because a lot of times when I do that, I'll see this teacher who no one's heard of, who just did this super cool thing in their classroom. And that really inspires me to maybe talk to a teacher or try it out myself or something like that. So those are my favorite things, as opposed to a big name or kind of just throwing something out there. I love just searching Twitter for what's cool and innovative and, you know, whatever. And there's so many cool things out there. So I would say that's my main place that I get inspiration from.
I love that. That seems to be the trend. The
EdTech hashtag.
EdTech hashtag. And if we want to follow you, how do we do that?
So I am at Kyle Niemis. N-I-E-M-I-S. And Classroom Q is at the Classroom Q. Because could you believe it, when we made this, somebody has at Classroom Q, like from like 10 years ago, and it's like suspended and I can't seem to get it. So we are at the Classroom Q for now.
I like the in front of it. Yes. The Classroom Q.
That's right. Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us today,
Kyle.
Thank you, Kyle.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. This is great.
Yeah, it was awesome. And now I want some barbecue.
But nothing spicy.
Nothing spicy.
We're actually hosting the barbecue, so okay. We should get to it.
I should get to it.
You're coming, Kyle, right? You're coming?
Yeah, I'll be there for sure.
What type of food are you into? We'll make sure we have it for you.
Spicy sounds great.
Awesome.
Yeah. Highlighters it is.
That's awesome. Thanks again, Kyle, so much for joining us. Well, that's a wrap for Season 2, Episode 5 of the Connect Ed Tech Podcast. And we will see you next time on the Flippin' Good Side of Tech.